were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. Yes, beloved, when we are getting the truth out of the word of God, we don't have to be afraid to speak up because we are standing on solid ground. We don't have to be afraid to stand up and speak up and for the Lord, because God is indeed on our side. Good morning to you out there in radio land. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so kindly this morning for joining us in the Situation Room. It is indeed a plum pleasure to have you this morning with us in the Situation Room. This morning we have a great program for you. This is the day that we look at Bible questions. We got Bible questions and Bible answers. And so, but before I give you, before we go into our Bible questions and Bible answer time, let me give you some contact information, because you may have a Bible question that you want me to answer in the Situation Room. So the email address is BibleWayIrvin@email.com. That's gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. And then the telephone number, you can leave me a voicemail at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And we welcome your Bible questions. You can't go wrong. Don't feel like, well, you know, this is a dumb Bible question. No, no. Any question that you have regarding the Bible or Christian living, it's a good question, because the truth of the matter is not asking the question and then trying to live like you got the answer can cause big problems. And so you want to make sure that you get the answer to the questions that you so desperately stand in need of. All right, let's go ahead and go and get to some Bible question answers, some Bible questions this morning. All right, the first Bible questions that we have this morning, it reads, how do you know you have the Holy Ghost? Is it by speaking in tongues? Good question. How do you know you have the Holy Ghost? Is it by speaking in tongues? Well, as you study now the book of Acts in the early days of the church, the gift of tongues was one of the signs that you had the gift of the Holy ghost. That was one of the signs. When you read Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost had fell and the folks were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter went over to Cornelius' house and the Gentile got saved, well, one of the sign gifts was the gift of tongues. The Gentiles began to speak in tongues. But today, the gift of tongue is not necessarily the sign that you have the Holy Ghost. Because Paul says, not all speak in tongues. Matter of fact, let me show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Keep in mind now, the book of Acts is not necessarily a foundational book in terms of building Bible doctrine. The book of Acts was a transitional book getting you from the gospel into the epistles. So the book of Acts is like a bridge. And so it bridged the gap between the time that Jesus left to the time that the apostles started writing the epistles. And the epistles is really where you want to build your Bible doctrine, my beloved. All right, so let's go over to one of the epistles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, you don't want to build your doctrine on a bridge. Acts is a bridge. You don't want to build a superstructure on a bridge. You want to build your house on a solid foundation, on a solid rock, not on a bridge. So that's why we're going over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul is dealing with different gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 20, beginning with verse number 27, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gift of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues." Now notice this, are all apostles? He's asking a rhetorical question. Paul already got the answer, and basically the answers here is no. So on all of these rhetorical questions, the answer no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Again, you would have to answer no. Are all teachers? Mm-mm. No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gift of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So the gift of tongues is no longer being used to show that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the gift that shows that you, if you want to use a sign gift, what is that sign gift that shows that you have the Holy Ghost? Well, the sign gift that you have the Holy Ghost today, I believe, would be the gift of love. Look at what Paul says in verse 31, still of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And then he goes into chapter 13. "Immediately, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, our love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And do I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love? I am nothing. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? And do I give my body to be burned and have not love? It profited me nothing." So love is really, if there was a sign gift, if you want to know by looking at a sign gift, my beloved, it would be the gift of love. That's the sign. As a matter of fact, look over here in St. John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13, verse number 35. It says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, if you love one another. If you love one another. Then look over here in 1 John. Not St. John, 1 John. So that's over near the book of Revelation. Go over to the end of your Bible. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 14. Look what he says. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. See, John said, we know that we done passed. You done passed from death to life. What are we talking about? When we come into this world, we are spiritually dead. But once we get saved, now we are spiritually alive. And John says, we know we done passed from death unto life. How do you know? Because we love the brethren. Love is the sign that you are saved and that you have the Holy Ghost. Look here at chapter 4 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. See, the way that you know that you are born again, then you are born of God, who is love. And so if you got love, agape love, that's the sign that you have the Holy Ghost. John says, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. That's pretty plain, clear, and simple. And then when you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, that deals with the fruit of the Spirit. Look at what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. The scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice, the fruit of the Spirit, the sign that you got the Holy Spirit, the first thing you look for, Paul says, is love. Love is at the top of the chart. Love, joy, and peace. But love is right up there at the top. All right. And then, today is not so much speaking in tongues, but can you control your tongue? That's the sign that you got the Holy Ghost, is that you can control your tongue, my beloved. Look what the Bible says over in the book of James right quick. James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man religion is in vain. This man religion is in vain. Do you see that, my beloved? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In order to do those things, then verse 27, you got to have love to visit the fatherless, to show some compassion on the widows in their affliction, and then to keep yourself unspotted from this sinful world. That shows that you got love in your heart for God and for his people. All right, so how do you know you have the Holy Ghost? You got the gift of love. Is it by speaking in tongues? No, it's by controlling your tongue. All right, let's go on to the second question. Is it necessary that I go to church, since most of the members at my church don't get along and there are so many hypocrites? Well, bless your heart. Let me read that again. Is it necessary that I go to church, since most of the members at my church don't get along and there are so many hypocrites? Well, let me say, first of all, I can feel your pain. I know that it hurts when you see church members not getting along. I know it hurts you when you see all the hypocrisy in the church. But let me encourage you to keep going to church. You need to stay in church. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. See, just because you go, let's say, just because you go to a doctor and that doctor is a bad doctor, don't stop going to a doctor. Doctors. Same thing. Just because somebody burned the biscuits, don't stop eating. Don't stop going to the dinner table just because somebody burnt the biscuit. Just because you found the bad cook, go somewhere else. Same thing. Just because that church may not be a good church, don't stop going to church, okay? Let me say right up front, yes, church attendance is a requirement. It's a requirement. Let me show you that out the Bible. That's something that God wants you to do. God wants you to keep going to church. Look at what the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The scripture says, let me back up to 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. All right. So hold fast the profession of your faith. Hold on to your faith. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, so church membership, my beloved, it's a requirement. God wants us to go to church. Now, did you pick out those four things? It's four things that why we need to go to church, right there in that passage. Number one, it says to stimulate each other. To each other to love and good works. Did you notice that? It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, or to stimulate one another, to stir one another up, to do some love and good work. See, God could be sending you there to the church to stir up some love, to get some love going. They done got cold in their love. Go there and start showering some love, stir up some love, stir up some good work, get some good work going. If the good work done stop, you be the catalyst to stir up some good work. You start doing good and it may catch on. Folks may start seeing what you doing and then they start catching on. So stimulate to love and good work. And then he says, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together, as the manner of some is. See, you don't want to commit the sin of apostasy. You don't want to commit the sin of apostasy. The sin of apostasy means to stand against in this case, it would be standing against going to church. What you once used to do, now you no longer do that, but you are opposed to even doing it. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about apostasy. There's a difference between backsliding and to be an apostate person. Backsliding shows that you're just no longer doing what you know you're supposed to do, but you want to do it. And one day you are going to do it. You're going to get back to doing it. But right now, you done backslid. But when you done apostated, and that's what this verse is talking about, it's talking about how these people, at one time, they was going to church, but they done quit going to church altogether, and they no longer are for going to church. They don't want to go to church no more. So you don't want to get to that place in your life where at one time you was going to church, but because you saw hypocrites in the church and you saw people weren't doing the right thing in the church, you just decide to quit going to church, and you're not even for going to church anymore. So you don't want that to happen, and that can easily happen. See, one of the things that we got going on in the church today is we got folks who call themselves Christians, but they don't go to church. They're bedside Baptists. They go to bedside Baptist church. They're bedside Christian. They have church at their bedside. Well, that's not really helping the body of Christ. You just having church at the house by yourself. Folks don't know that you are really a child of God unless you go public. See, that's just like getting married without having a wedding, or getting married without letting folks know that you done got married. Yeah, if you are a child of God, then you need to be showing folks that you are a child of God, that you believe in God and you believe in His church. Well, one of the ways you show you still believe in His church is by going to church. So you don't want to be like these people, like it says right here in verse 5, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is, like some folks was doing back in Paul and them day. And then the third reason is you want to encourage one another to keep going to church. The scripture says, but exhorting one another. So you want to keep exhorting one another to go on back to church. And then the last thing he says here, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day that Jesus is coming back. You need to go to church because Jesus is coming back. And you don't want Jesus to catch you with your work undone. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you will end up doing what you are not supposed to do. Did you hear what I said, beloved? If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then you'll end up doing what you're not supposed to do. Now, let me just show you one other scripture here, because we're running out of time. Over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus gives a parable. He gives a parable about the end time. Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. Jesus says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Now notice, Jesus asks a question. Who is this faithful servant? If the faithful servant is the one that keeps working until his master come back. But notice verse number 48. He said, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him with his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My beloved, you don't want to miss heaven because you are watching folks acting in a hellish way and you end up in hell with them. No, you want to go on and, number one, get yourself right with Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Then go on and get in the church and stimulate one another to love and good work. And then don't be an apostated person, somebody who starts out and then they take a stand against going to church. There's too many Christians today that's putting the church down. God loves the church. Don't talk about his bride. Go in there and help straighten up and fix up his bride, because the church is the bride of Christ. And then go and encourage one another to keep going to church, and then because Jesus is coming back. I say Jesus is coming back. And so, my beloved, make sure that you are right with the Lord, that he won't catch you with your work undone. I don't want Jesus to catch me with my work undone. So I'm going to keep working until Jesus comes back. Now, look like that's going to be just about all for us today here in the Situation Room. Hopefully we answered your questions that can help you on your Christian journey. Thank you for joining us today. Let me encourage you to stay with us now the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. In Your Corner, we'll be rebroadcast at 12 noon and 6 p.m. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. Unshackled will be rebroadcast at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. And listen to us all day, my beloved, because we are in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Now have a good day.